Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word. 1 Corinthians 3:10-17. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we're going to build a church, all right? You ready to build it? Paul says here, he gives instructions to the church at Corinth. And remember the church at Corinth, First Presbyterian Corinth. Don't join that church. It's full of sin, full of sinners. You need to join this one. Seriously, think about it. A church full of sinners, saved by grace, full of divisions and sexual immorality. The church was really bad off. And now God has given instructions to Paul about how to build a church. And let's look at this very carefully. See what we can glean from this. Look at verse 10. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled builder, master builder, I laid a foundation. Let's stop there. According to the grace of God given to me. The word according is a very important word. We would have a tendency to skip this word, but it's very important because it talks about the purpose for the grace of God. In this context, the grace of God has a purpose, a particular purpose, and that purpose is the building of His church. It cannot be done without His grace, without His spontaneous favor poured upon His people. So we begin thinking about building a church. We begin with God's grace upon us to use us. The grace of God, God's favor given to us. And Paul says, given to me. That prepositional phrase, to me, is personal. So as being a believer in Jesus Christ, each one of us has been given the grace of God to build His church. And each of us are personally responsible to do that. Now, let's go on to the next phrase. Like a skilled master builder. A skilled master builder. We need to start with the word skilled, because I imagine some of you are just not gifted to do the do-it-yourself thing, the DIY, you know. That's a gift. Everybody else has a special gift. Not everybody has it, and some that do really enjoy it. But you know what the word skilled means there? The literal meaning of that word, and the literal word is wisdom. Wisdom. Not skill. We think of skill as the ability to do something. I had a leak there at our house one day on a water line, and I think all I need to do is solder that thing a little bit. And I've never done that before. I've done it one time since. So I got the soldering material and the blowtorch and everything, and I had enough solder. That pipe was that big around when I finished with it. And I turned the water on, and the water hit me right between the eyes. So I called a plumber. He came out. Oh, what skill that man had. Of course, he said a few words that I will not repeat in this sermon about the idiot that did it. And he said, "Who did this?" And I said, "I'm the idiot. I'm watching you, so I'll know how to do it." And he cleaned all that stuff off, and then with wisdom, he soldered that water pipe, and it worked perfectly. To watch someone who is skilled at doing something. And so we take the word Sophia in the Greek. It means wisdom. We build the church according to God's grace and according to His wisdom. The word wisdom means to be not, means to have knowledge and to use it properly. To have knowledge and use it properly. It's one thing to have knowledge and not use it properly. And that's what it means to be a skilled master builder. In this context, it means in the work of the Lord, in the building of His church, we use God's wisdom. We depended on His grace to build His church. So keep that in mind. And it's given to those who build personally. Now, look what Paul says. In verse 10, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. That's a very important point also. Paul laid the foundation and notice what it said. Everyone is building upon it. So that means all of us are building the church of Jesus Christ. It doesn't say particular ones. It says we're all building the church. Do you ever consider yourself as one who is building the church? No, that's what we hire you for. You're the pastor. You're supposed to build it. I have a responsibility in it, but everyone else also has a responsibility. Now, let's keep going and see what that might be. Then he says, let each one take care of how he builds upon it. Let each one... Each there singular. So it puts the emphasis on each individual member. So my brothers and sisters, how are you and I building this church? Then we go on to read, take care. Take care. The verb to take care means to have spiritual perception. Spiritual perception. So we're building a spiritual entity, not brick and mortar. The emphasis is on the spiritual need of the individual believer, not packing it out with numbers. There's a concern for the spiritual entity, the spiritual soul of the person would come to know Christ. That's what the church is about. Not on numbers, but on people's need for Christ. People's need to be nurtured in Christ. People's need to be equipped to serve the Lord, to go out and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual entity. And this word here, take care, means we must have a spiritual discernment and a spiritual perception of the people who need Christ as Savior and who need to grow spiritually. So let each one take care how. The word how means in what manner. So in what manner are we reaching out to people who need Christ? Is it just a notch in the belt for an evangelist saying, I led 100 people to Christ today, or this week, or this year, and he's bragging about what he has done without any spiritual perception at all? See, is there genuine concern and compassion for the individual? Not just to put a mark on your belt or to have a church with 1,000 members. But the fact that this person has come to know Christ as Savior and they're growing in their faith. Where is our emphasis? And do we have the perception to realize where we are? How he builds. And this building here has to do with spiritual building. It's a spiritual body of Christ. Yes, we're physical bodies. We have a physical location. But the emphasis is on the spiritual need. And this is what we need to be focused on. And Paul is saying here in verse 10, according to the grace of God given to me like a skilled master builder, I have laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds. This church was planted in 1884. And think about all the people that have been in this church once the original building burned down and this one was built. You just think about all the people that have sat where you're sitting, that have worshiped faithfully on Sundays, that have been involved in the ministry of this church and reaching people for Christ. And a lot have gone to be with the Lord. And here you and I are. God has called us here and placed us here to continue to build this part of the body of Christ. And He's gifted every one of us with ability to do that. And primarily, it's a spiritual discerning ability. Look at verse 11. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation of the body of Christ is Christ Himself. There is absolutely no other foundation other than Christ. In Sunday school this morning, as someone pointed out about the changing of the word that the world is using to define the church, and it's the word community. Do you use the word community to define this church? If you do, I want you to stop it because it's not biblical. The word for church in the Greek is ekklesia. And that word ekklesia means to be called out and to be a specific assembly of people. And that's what the church is. Defining the church as a community with the world standard means we're just like everybody else. We're just another group of people. But according to Scripture, we have been called out from a world of sin and ungodliness and immorality and cheating and deceiving and lying. We're different. We are totally different. We are not a community. We are an ecclesia, a called out people. And you say, oh, why are you making a big deal? That's a big deal because down the road, Christ will be kicked to the curb. And the head of the church will be a pastor. You're headed in the wrong direction by using that term. And this is what Paul is addressing here in verse 11. The foundation is Christ, and there is no other foundation for the church. Look at verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation, now look at that. Look at that phrase. If anyone builds on the foundation, now, if is conditional, but it's referring to the materials being used. All of us are building this church. What type of material are you and I using? That's the question. And he goes on to say, now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw. So he gives us six building materials that's used. Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. The day will come, the second coming of Christ. That's what the day refers to here. That day will come at the second coming of Christ. And all of our work is going to be judged. Now, you need to jot down Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. That's the great white throne judgment. And when you read that passage, let's turn to that passage. Turn to Revelation. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who went in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Two sets of books, a multi-volume set that has every name of every person that's ever been born and everything they accomplished, and they faced a judgment of works. And that's what 1 Corinthians 3 is talking about that we're in now. And every one of us will stand that judgment of works. And then there's a single volume, Book of Life. And anyone whose name was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. How do you get your name in the book of life? You trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation. Your name on a church roll will not get you anything. Your name in the book of life has eternal life for you and eternity in the presence of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's the book you want your name in. And to get there, you confess that you're a sinner. And you believe Jesus is God's only begotten Son, and He came into the world to die for your sin. And He was raised from the dead, and He ascended into heaven. And you confess your sin and ask for forgiveness and Jesus to save you and to be your Savior and Lord. And you have eternal life, and your name is in the book. Otherwise, it's not. And should you die without Christ, you spend an eternity in hell, which is the lake of fire. And we all stand that judgment. So our works are going to be judged. And then we'll see where our names are. And you can have assurance of your salvation. That if Jesus Christ is your Savior, you have eternal life. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 14. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. So, whatever you and I have done in our lives that has honored the Lord, that has been pleasing to Him, that has been for the spiritual strengthening and growth of the body of Christ, that has been a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ out in the community where you and I live, where we do our work, where we do our shopping, where we do our recreation, and we've lived a life that's pleasing and honoring to the Lord, then the reward will come. Now, everybody wants to know what the reward is. And only God knows that. And it's up to Him to give it. It's not up to anybody else. He gives what He wants to give. But we're told here in His Word, given by His Spirit, that you and I will receive a reward when it's gold, silver, and precious stone. The wood, hay, and the straw is going to burn and be destroyed. Nothing will be given there. Look at verse 15. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. There are those who will stand before the Lord, and their whole life's work will burn. And if they have Jesus as their Savior, they will be saved. They won't have any works. It's gone. So there are those who will stand there like that. We don't know who they are, but there will be those that are there because it says they will be. Now look at 16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Think about that. God instructed Moses to build a tabernacle. Solomon built a temple. It was destroyed. Another temple was built. Then Jesus came in 70 AD. That temple was destroyed. And believers in Christ then become the temple of the living God. Our bodies are the temple of God, the Spirit of God dwelling in them. And so when we look about building the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're talking about a spiritual building. And first of all, it's each individual believer in Christ. Each individual in Christ is a spiritual entity. And you are the one building who you are, spiritually speaking. How are you coming with that? How are you doing building yourself spiritually? How do I build myself spiritually? You worship regularly. You study the Word on a daily basis. You pray. You strive to obey the Word of God on a daily basis as you're led by the Holy Spirit. In the life in which you and I live, we strive to live that life in a manner that's pleasing and honoring to God. Now, none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. We can't do this perfectly, but we make every effort by God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit to live a life that's pleasing and honoring to God. And then when you and I sin, then it's upon us to confess that sin to the Lord, to repent, be truly sorry for that sin, and ask for forgiveness. And He promises to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when we do that, we are forgiven and we are cleansed. So we keep this body of ours spiritually pure as we possibly can by God's grace. And we're building ourselves as a spiritual temple. And then, as we build ourselves up spiritually, we're building this ecclesia here to be spiritually strong. And it's very important that you realize how important you are in this fellowship of believers. And you think, oh, I'm not that important. I don't teach. I'm not a preacher. I don't sing in the choir. I'm not an elder. I'm not a deacon. It's not saying anything about elders and deacons and preachers here. It's talking about individual believers. We all are part of the body of Christ. And we should take our sin very seriously. Because if I don't take my sin seriously, I'm going to hurt every one of you. I'm going to make this church weak, spiritually weak. And if you don't take your sin spiritually, you're going to do the same thing. Because we're all a part of the body. And so we want to be a strong spiritual part of the body of Christ. And we want to build that body to the best of our ability as we're led by the Holy Spirit. Which means I've got to be responsible for my own sin. For myself, about it. For myself, for my wife, for my children, and for you. And you have the same responsibility in this church, in this ecclesia. Look at verse 17. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are the temple. I was teaching this at Jeff State, and I had a student say, "How much can I sin and get away with it? How far can I go?" And I said, "You'll know when you're standing before God. That's the only way you'll know." But you know what? That was not a good way to approach it. Because a believer should never think how much I can get away with. That should never be a thought of a believer. The believer's thought is, how can I honor you, Lord? How can I show you my love for you because of your love for me? How can I honor your holy and majestic name? And we'll never think about what I can get away with. That's the world's line of thinking. That's the world's wisdom. What may I get away with? There is a possibility, and I don't know what the answer is, that if a believer in Jesus Christ brings enough shame on the name of Christ and His church, the Lord will take him out or take her out. I don't know what that line is. I don't even know where the line is. But I don't even want to know that line. We should be focused on honoring the Lord day in and day out. So we are responsible for building our own spiritual bodies. How are we doing? What is my standard that I look at to see how I'm doing? Turn with me to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. What is my standard? To whom do I compare myself to? Well, don't compare yourself to another believer. That won't work. Because we can always find somebody's doing something wrong. So what is my standard? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. All Scripture is from the mouth of God. That's what inspiration means. It means to exhale. It's from the mouth of God. And it's profitable. The word profitable means useful and beneficial. Useful and beneficial. What is it useful and beneficial for? The first one is teaching. That is imparting knowledge, imparting information. It tells us who God is. It tells us who we are apart from Christ. It tells us who we are in Christ. We need that knowledge and should desire that knowledge. It's for reproof, exposure of wrongdoing. You want to know what's wrong? You want to know what sin is? Don't ask a non-believer, and don't ask any politician or anybody that's not a believer. You go to Scripture and see what God says sin is. So it's beneficial for teaching and for reproof. And then for correction. The word correct there means to make something upright. And so we need to know what God says is the right way to think, the right way to look at life, the right way to understand life. Correction. And for instruction in righteousness. Instruction in righteousness. Righteousness means that we have a proper relationship with God the Father through God the Son as defined by Scripture, not the church. Not the church, the Scripture. It's important that we focus on Christ and the Scripture. In studying church history, you will see how many denominations have come into being and how many of them have split and splintered because of divisions, and how many of them have turned their backs on the Scripture and on Christ. That's why I've always told people, don't sell out to a denomination. Follow Christ. And then worship in a church where the Holy Spirit has you, where the pastor is a believer in Christ. He loves the Lord, loves the Word, and will teach it in season and out of season. That's what we all need. That's how we're spiritually strong. That's how we build a church. Brothers and sisters, we're in a time that the world is coming against what you and I believe and hold dearly in our faith. And the pressure is going to come more and more to be communities instead of churches. Don't buy it. Do not buy it. Keep yourself spiritually healthy. How many of you get yearly checkups? You're in trouble. You know, we get these yearly checkups. Make sure everything's ticking that's supposed to tick and whatever else they're supposed to do. But we want to be physically healthy. What about spiritually healthy? What about spiritually healthy? We get a spiritual checkup every Sunday in Sunday school and in worship, morning and afternoon, Wednesday night, Thursday morning Bible study, the ladies in their Bible study on Monday night and the second Wednesday of every month. And it doesn't cost you a thing. You even get fed some of them. That's not bad. But the spiritual health, we don't take as seriously as we should. How do you grow in your temple? How are we growing this church? Every one of us have a responsibility in it. I thank the Lord for you, for your faithfulness, as I worship with you every Lord's Day. And I look into your faces. I don't see anybody sleeping. And I don't hear any snoring. You might want to, but you don't. And these worship services are filled with the Spirit of God, because we're all focused on the Lord and we want to be taught His Word. That makes a spiritually strong church. And that's what we're supposed to be. And we're all responsible. So let's pray that we remain faithful to the Lord daily in our walk with Him. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'd like to speak to you after this worship. Share the gospel with you that you may know Christ and come to Him. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we love you and thank you for your love to us. Thank you for this time to study your word, to worship you, to offer up our praises and thanksgivings to you, and to worship you through the giving of tithes and offerings. You've spoken to every one of us by your Spirit from your word in this teaching time today. I pray that we will respond to you as you lead us by your Spirit. We will continue to be a spiritually strong part of the body of Christ, and it'll be for your honor. For I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Lord has spoken to your heart. You respond to His call to you. Let us stand and sing this closing hymn, I Know Whom I Have Believed. But shall we stand? remember, as a skilled master builder, skilled using the wisdom of God, that's what we have and that's how we build. Carmen, Chris, Esther, Pippa, you come and stand, and all of you come and extend the right hand of fellowship to this great family that the Lord has brought to us. I think Esther just turned 4 this last week, didn't you, Esther? Wish her a happy birthday, too. We welcome you into the fellowship. It's great having you. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we love you because you love us. And thank you so much for the life we have in Christ. The privilege we have of building ourselves as a spiritual house to honor you and building each other up in the faith, that we as a part of your body will continue to love and serve you in a way that's pleasing to you. Father, we thank you so much for Chris and Carmen, for Pippa and Esty and Tate. May your blessings be upon them. May we be a blessing to them as they are part of the fellowship here, as you continue to use us in the work of your kingdom. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be and abide with each and every one of you now and forevermore. Amen.